a doctor in the house.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Doctor.
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 And doctor.
It's time for Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Rashid Batar.
I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
I'm a doctor, not a mechanic.
I'm a doctor, not a coal miner.
The doctor is in.
All right, advanced medicine is happening. Dr. Batar is in. How are you, my buddy?
I am doing well, Robert. How about yourself?
Good. Well, transiting across the country, closer to wherever you are now, heading to Arizona. So we are doing remotes on broadcast this week, but I'm glad to connect, do some advanced medicine. And folks, I was just at advancedmedicine.com. There's certain aspects of that that are still up and running, but you can connect through Medical Rewind there to listen to all of our archives. For those of you who are new to the show, there are thousands of hours now. It's ridiculous how much great information there is. So maybe, just maybe, we'll have some more great information to share today.
Well, I hope so, Robert. I think that we do, as always, have some pretty exciting stories to talk about. But one of the things that I'm most interested in, as I mentioned before a couple of weeks ago, and that you were really excited about, is the searchable function that will be available at Advanced Medicine, where people can actually search using certain key tag words that will pull up our audio segments from the radio shows, as well as some of the text files, some of the stories, some of the other links that were created in our 8-year history so far of being together.
Nice.
But the nice thing is that you can actually do a certain search under a certain tag word like autism or mercury or toxicity or whatever, and pull up pertinent radio shows for those tag words. The only problem will be that it'll be like a 50-minute segment that the person may have to go through, because we may have talked about mercury and then talked about autism, something else. So it'll only be searchable by the actual
by the show, yeah.
Segment of the show.
Well, listen, they're just gonna have to suffer through more of our discussions then.
There you go.
Tough it out. You want the information, you pay for it. No, it's free. Yeah, it's just the time you spend doing it. We appreciate you all that are supporting us for all these years and sharing this. That's one of the things we'd ask. Don't think that everybody's discovered it yet just because you know it. Feel free and please be bold and share this information. And again, links are up in the show notes at robertscottbell.com, also advancedmedicine.com, another key portal to get you plugged in. And for those of you who need to sign up to other things, there's an invitation code for Robert Scott Bell Show listeners. It's 1-358-1358. So let's dive into a subject you know a lot about, but apparently the CDC doesn't. Here's the headline from the San Francisco Gate. Dentists keep dying of this deadly lung disease. The CDC can't figure out why. Now, we're not picking on CDC. That's in the headline. The CDC and all of their billion, multi-billion dollar budgets, Dr. Batar, they can't figure out what we did, and we haven't been funded to figure it out.
Well, I would probably venture to say that that's a misnomer, that the CDC can't figure it out, because if it's true that the CDC can't figure it out, then that means they haven't sent in their toxicology team. They only sent in their infectious disease team, because you and I both know that if they sent in the toxicology team, pretty much they wouldn't even need to go. They would probably be able to arbitrarily just say, well, unless proven otherwise, it's mercury vapor inhalation toxicity. But I think it's more sensationalized headline if to say the CDC can't figure it out. That's just my take on it. But
sure,
well, it is interesting that they're calling it a lung disease.
Yeah, and if the mainstream media, which is always fawning over these agencies like CDC, oh, they're the best. And so they're wanting to foment fear here. Clearly, it's like a story, an X-File story. My gosh, this is a mystery, right? But should it be a mystery? I mean, listen, there are a lot of chemicals and compounds used in modern dentistry. But, I mean, is there one that's more toxic than mercury that they're using?
Yeah, absolutely not. The only thing that's more toxic than mercury, according to the Environmental Protection Agency, is uranium. And as far as I know, they're still not using uranium for dental amalgam.
Right. Yeah, we want harder teeth, so we're doing depleted uranium tooth fillings. No, they're not doing that. So it's estimated that about 200,000 people in the United States have what they call idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. And I always find it funny, the term idiopathic, because it's like, well, it means the idiot doctors can't figure it out. But for some reason, they identified that term and said, define it as, we don't know what's causing it.
Right. That's exactly right. So almost all medical diagnoses, as far as the terms that are used to describe them, they're actually descriptive of what the condition is. It's actually nothing more than a description. So idiopathic, as you said, we don't, it comes from the word idiot. You know, we don't understand where it's coming from. Just like iatrogenic. Iatrogenic is a medical term for meaning doctor-induced. Okay, but it's a lot easier to say it's an iatrogenic issue, and then people go, oh my God, I've got this iatrogenic issue. It sounds like, you know, malignant iatrogenic, something strange. Mm-hmm. Iatrogenic just means doctor-induced, right? Pulmonary means lung. Fibrosis is basically scarring. So this is scarring of the lungs of unknown cause. That's what this idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis is. But, you know, if somebody says, well, you've got this scarring of your lungs from a cause that we're not sure of,
yeah,
you'd say, what the hell kind of a person are you? What kind of doctor are you? Versus idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, oh my God, you got IPT, okay, you know, or IPF, mm-hmm. but then it's a big thing. And so a lot of these terms are used to for intimidation purposes. I mean, I'm not sure how else to sugarcoat it. It's used to intimidate an individual and also perhaps to elevate the physician so that they seem like they know more,
mm-hmm.
and that the individual that they're treating knows less. So again, it's that control mechanism, and it goes back to the same thing like you talk about the degrees.
Yeah,
that
degrees, type of yes.
component. It's a way of creating more more of what is it called? If you look at this from a religiosity standpoint, this would be like elevating the priest or the preacher or the imam or the rabbi, right. or whatever done. It would be a way to elevate that leader in the religious church to a higher state, and then allow them to have more control over the individual. So it's actually making religion more religious,
right.
religiosity more religious.
In modern medicine, yeah. So if we were to look at mercury as what we would go, we'd hone in on that first and foremost because of its primary and intense toxicity levels. Even at low levels, we're talking about vapors, breathing it into the lungs. What is the impact on mercury on soft tissue within the lungs? Because you've talked about denudation of the neural fibrils in terms of brain neurological health. But is there a similar component or impact that is of a negative or deleterious consequence, using big words today, in the lung tissue, soft tissue in the lungs? What is it doing in there?
Well, let's back up for a second. So mercury is by far the greatest way of getting the most mercury into the system is through mercury inhalation. It's the most toxic way of actually getting mercury exposure. But it's not just mercury. You've got cadmium, you've got lead. So the big push to take lead out of the gasoline actually came from the toxicology team at the Centers for Disease Control years ago. And of course, there's still lead in gasoline, but there was far greater amounts of lead in gasoline previously. So the combustion of fossil fuels has cadmium, lead, and mercury in there. Now, when you're talking about dentists, specifically dentists, we isolate it down to mercury because mercury will affect dentists and dental hygienists by far more than anybody else, besides the patients. But the thing is with the patient, as a dentist is actually manipulating the amalgams, they're only getting one or two or three times that hit because that's the only time when they're in that environment. Whereas a dentist or the dental hygienist is constantly, each patient after patient, day after day, week after week, they're getting exposed and there's a mercury accumulation there. So that inhalation of the mercury vapor is most likely what's causing, in fact, if I was a betting person, I'd put, I'd go all in
right.
that it's the mercury. But just to make sure that if we take the dental factor out and we just talk about inhalation and how it affects the lungs, I would say it would be lead, cadmium, and mercury, not necessarily in that order.
Mm-hmm.
But cadmium has the highest level of propensity, like with cigarette smokers, it's probably cadmium is higher than mercury and actually leads to cadmium is actually one of the biggest reasons for hypertension. Again, idiopathic hypertension, which is hypertension or high blood pressure of unknown cause, 80%, 85% of that of hypertension is actually considered to be idiopathic or unknown cause, according to Cecil's textbook of internal medicine. And almost all of that is all cadmium toxicity. So the interesting component here in this particular article is because they've localized it to the profession of dentists, and actually they even say dental hygienists in here. Of the nine people, I think that they said that one of them was a dental hygienist and the other eight were dentists, if I remember correctly when I just read this originally. But regardless, what is the mercury doing to the actual lung parenchyma?
Yes.
Well, it's the same component, Robert. Of course, it's maybe not the denudation, but it's the same component, the universal component that all toxicities cause or the pathology, or the, all pathology is caused by oxidative stress, to, you know, on, regardless of what the diagnosis is, regardless of what the toxicity is. So coming back to the seven toxicities that I discuss in my book, and I'll just quickly list them. Heavy metals, number one. Persistent organic pollutants, number two. Opportunistics like the bacteria, viruses, spirochetes, mycoplasma, yeast, number three. Then the more esoteric ones start, and number four is energetics like the electromagnetic, microwave technologies, that type of stuff, disruptive energetics. Number five, emotional, psychological. Number six, food. Not what we put in the foods, but what we do to foods, such as homogenization, pasteurization, irradiation, genetic modification, etc. And then the seventh, spiritual. So these seven toxicities, they, their mechanism of action is oxidative stress. We have oxidative stress every day on for our lives. But these seven toxicities exacerbate that oxidative stress and take it to the next level. So anything that increases oxidative stress is going to be contributory to pathology, to disease. All disease starts from an increase in oxidative stress. So when you look at mercury now and you look into the lungs, by mercury's mechanism of action, just like any other toxicity, is increasing the oxidative stress. And that oxidative stress is now causing disruption of the cellular metabolism and the various DNA addicts that form in the
The very physical integrity of the cell is disrupted and destroyed. And to your earlier point, Dr. Bittar, we're almost up on our first break, but you are so correct when they name these things. They're just describing it. So in the article, it says idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis causes scarring of the lungs. No, it doesn't. You're describing what it is.
Exactly, and it's right.
The cause. This is ludicrous. It's ridiculous. That's why we do advanced medicine, friends, and we're going to continue to do so after our first break here. Once again, links are up in the show notes at robertscottbell.com. It'll also take you out. You'll see big banners, picture of Dr. Bittar, take you to advancedmedicine.com. Those of you who want, go directly to drbuttar.com, drbuttar.com. And we've got a lot more healing to go. We're going to discuss more of the pulmonary lung issues and their true causes, as opposed to the name being the cause, after this break. We'll be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Those of you new to the Robert Scott Bell Show or Advanced Medicine with Dr. Rasha Bittar, his book that he referred to, those toxicities, it's in the 9 steps to keep the doctor away, international bestseller in many languages now, available to you, and you can get it wherever you are through Amazon or other areas. Now, talking lung health, pulmonary health, and pointing out the absurdity of naming a disease and saying the name of the disease is the cause of the problem. We look into mercury, and there may be other dental chemicals. There are penchant for loving fluoride, which doesn't help because, well, it does help the uptake of heavy metals even more, which is not a good thing. But there may other synthetics. But mercury, number one on the list, unless we found them using depleted uranium in your teeth, which they're not. So where do we go from here? How do we understand the cause? You laid it out beautifully, Dr. Bittar, increasing oxidative stress, corrupting cellular metabolism and cellular integrity itself. And of course, that begs the question, if you will, what about genetic causes? And there's a secondary article here, and I hope y'all will look at this at Medical Express. It says environmental exposures more determinant of respiratory health than inherited genetics. So they can't get away with, oh, it's in your genes. You have bad genes. That's why your lungs are a problem.
Well, see, this is interesting, too, because you're absolutely right. It has nothing to do with our genetics, the way we're born. But what it does have to do with is the alteration of how our genes respond to the environmental trigger that causes manifestation of certain conditions that now promote and support that disruption. So the DNA addicts that are being formed, or the DNA damage that's being resulted, you know, it has nothing to do with the genetic code. It's to do with the environmental trigger that the genetic code responds to. This is, again, going back to work that's been done years and years ago. In fact, Bruce Lipton made it very popular when he talked about some of these aspects too. But mm-hmm. when you understand that the genetic code is a dynamic program and that the environmental trigger will induce different states within that same genetic code, then you start to understand that we truly are capable of, as a self-regulatory organism, the body is capable of, one, maintaining health, and two, recovering if it does become disrupted, because the program that was that's within us, the DNA that the ultimate engineer created, is a self-regulatory program. It's actually designed to heal itself. The problem is the environmental trigger. When I say environment, I'm talking about not just the extrinsic environment, what we're breathing and what we're, you know, surrounding ourselves with, but also our intrinsic environment, what we're taking in, the foods and the nutrition, the water, all the right. air that we're breathing in. That's also part of our environment. That's the intrinsic environment. So it's that environmental trigger that induces a disruption that causes the genetic code to express itself in a manner that creates some of these things that we're concerned about. But in actuality, it has nothing to do with the genetic code. It's the environmental trigger.
Yeah.
That's what we need to control.
The environment is programming genetic expression every moment.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And if we can control our environment, if we can improve our environment and clean up our environment, our genetic code is designed to be
self-correct.
A self-regulatory and self-correcting mechanism. Exactly.
That's amazing. Amazing.
That's correct.
Dr. Batari, in this article, I'm reading it briefly here. The study, which was published just recently in Nature Communications, analyzed more than 1.6 million data points from biological specimens, health questionnaires, and environmental data sets, making the study one of the largest ever to examine the relationship between gene expression and environmental stimuli. Again, I don't know what the germ theory proponents are going to do with this, right? Or the geneticists who claim it's genetic determinism, because they're rapidly having to realize by sheer volume of scientific literature being published that the whole idea of pre-programming the human genome and a lifetime is set before you begin is got to be dissipating by now.
Yeah, it's a absolutely it's a preposterous thought process that's been put out there, and it's myth. Okay, it's just myth that's been propagated, and I don't know how myth gets propagated into fact, but this is exactly what they've done. So, Robert, just now I had to stand up and start pacing because I was getting so excited because of two things that you just said. So, first thing is, are you impressed with that 1.6 million data points?
Well, it certainly sounds like an impressive number, but I bet they go higher than that.
Well, we have over 9 million data points just to show the relationship between heavy metals as measured in red blood cells, hair, fecal, and urine testing since 1996. So we're 22 years of this data collection. It's all being put into a massive database. We are estimating it's about 9 million. It may be actually more than 9 million sets of data points. Mm-hmm. And that's just looking at the relationship between heavy metals, i.e., you know, mercury, lead, arsenic, tin, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Just looking at heavy metals and their relationship to chronic disease.
Who's got more data points? We're going to find out. We got to take a break. Hold that thought, Dr. Batari. Very impressive. 9, 10 million. We got it going out of our ears here, and of course, it's validating what we're revealing to you each and every week during our Advanced Medicine Monday segments on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Back after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, here I am talking about 1.6 million data points, and Dr. Batari says, oh, 1.6 million. We got 9, 10 million. Who knows how much we got to show the impact of heavy metals on a disease manifestation. So, Dr. Batari, you're just trying to impress me or what?
Yeah, well, what I'm trying to do right now is to let you know, Robert, and I know that you're not easily impressed, but I know that this is something that, you know, 1.6 million data points is without a doubt very impressive, but we're going to have so much. We already have this collected. We're just now entering it into a database that's queryable, meaning that we can't query that you can have all this data collected, but if you can't query it, if you can't put in certain parameters and then have the numbers being crushed by a computer, mm-hmm. then it is really useless. And so we're in the process of putting that into a customized database that we can query based upon any parameter that we want, from age, date, from date of birth to sex to a chronic disease or whatever the disease issue is. It's supposed obviously going to be more heavily emphasized on the disease processes of cancer, autism, stroke, heart disease, because that's predominantly what we see. But you'll be able to query that data, and that's what's really exciting. And with the launch of advanced medicine now, within the next 30, 45 days after we got the searchable aspect done, then other doctors that want to participate to help to contribute to this data collection process, if they're collecting these types of tests, the hair, urine, fecal, RBC, toenail clipping levels of metals, they'll be able to enter that data in. And every doctor, in fact, anybody, probably initially just be physicians, but anybody will be able to query that data and just go in. It's just kind of like Van VCD is, and you can go in and punch in the parameters and you can pull mm-hmm. up the data and you can see what the results are dynamic. So that's one exciting aspect. But what I wanted to get to now, and I'm going to drop it. I wasn't planning on doing this today
The show. Everybody, put on your seatbelts.
But this is something really, really big, okay? So, I mean, this is truly, truly technology. You can't even call it disruptive.
Okay.
Because it is so powerful, but sometimes people may not be able to even comprehend it. But I can tell you that I have validated it now in myself, and with a condition that I was having, and Robert, you know, mm-hmm. you know, over the last few years, something that I've got all the resources that I need. I've got all the medical aspect, everything that I need. And I have had a little issue that the majority of it was taken care of, but there's been one remnant that I haven't been able to address and not figure out. And I mean, it's digestive related, and I've done everything known to man under the sun. And then less than 24 hours, and again, I'm not in the 40th hour myself, but within 24 hours, I saw a difference. Actually, within probably 6 hours, I saw the difference, but I thought it was in my head. 24 hours, I'm like, okay, this is interesting. At 48 hours or 36 hours, I started putting myself into certain situations and ingesting in certain things that I know caused a disruption mm-hmm. and was not able to reproduce the symptomology. So we're about 48 hours right now. I believe that this technology, which from a spiritual standpoint was just introduced, you know, remember we talked about David Hawkins previously?
Right, yes.
Okay, it's all to do with the map of consciousness. It's all to do with that map of consciousness where David Hawkins talks about below 200. These are the emotions of greed and fear and apathy. And above 200, you start getting into neutrality. And eventually, you know, higher up, you've gotten into acceptance and then love. And this is where Buddha and Jesus were resonating at 1,000. And the planet Earth has been at a level. Maybe I'm going to really disrupt people's thought processes here, but if you're listening to this and you're curious as to what the heck I'm talking about, look up David Hawkins and his map of consciousness. Just look that up on Google it, and you'll start to see what I'm talking about. But on the show previously, Robert, on our show previously, we've talked about how the goal should be to resonate above 200. And interestingly enough, the planet Earth has been around the 190s and leaped in the mid-1980s up over 200. And then before David Hawkins passed, it was, I think, 2011, 2012. We'd been around 207, 208, but had been drifting down lower and lower, down to 202, 203. And Hawkins said it's important for the planet to be resonating above that 200 point. Well, the most recent data that I was just made aware of a few days ago, we're actually around 227. The planet's resonating around 227 right now. And there's technology that can help to raise that consciousness to a higher level. Now, what's most interesting is that according to the power of this resonance, and this is all established and validated through kinesiology and through, you know, reproducible type testing using kinesiology, a power versus force. If anybody's curious about reading a book, read Power versus Force by David Hawkins. But coming back to this, what was interesting that I didn't realize is that somebody that's resonating below 200, which obviously is not desired, and somebody who's resonating above 200, if somebody's resonating around the 500 level of consciousness, they are negating over 750,000 people that are resonating below 200, okay? So Hawkins talks about how Think of it as one drop of water in the ocean. We may not think that's that significant, but that one drop contributes
yes.
to the increase in the level of the ocean water, right? So if we collectively, as more we increase our consciousness as an individual, the more effect we're having to the whole planet. So if you want to know how can I help to improve the planet, you increase your own level of consciousness.
Beautiful, beautiful. It's a very homeopathic principle, and it explains some of what we have talked about before. People have referenced the 100th monkey effect. You know, why yes. at a certain level, the impact is darn near universal at that point. So it doesn't take everybody, but the preponderance of consciousness is shifting when a minority gain a certain level of awareness, and it just kind of, it goes like a wave over all of human consciousness. So it's fascinating that you're bringing that up today.
Well, now the point here, and this was all background information, the point is that there is a way to actually induce a field that is resonating at that level or higher, okay? And we believe, in fact, I am the recipient right now of an induction of this type of a field that's being created that is causing an improvement, a change in my physiology where I am no longer experiencing those things that I've been having for 3 years that I've done everything under the book that I know of to resolve. And again, I have certain resources that most people don't as a physician. And beyond that, I have additional resources that I'm used to dealing with people with problems that nobody else can fix, and we fix them. And I haven't been able to fix this myself. And within 48 hours, I'm convinced now that I have seen the resolution or close to the resolution of this, which means that we can actually help people all over the planet. Because this is based on soft tissue. Now we can do this. It's all based upon consciousness. This is like stepping out of a three-dimensional into a fourth-dimensional world now.
Right.
Okay. It's making my head spin. In fact, I couldn't even sit down when I thought, okay, I'm going to talk about this. I've been pacing.
That's very exciting.
Since we started talking about the subject.
Well, Dr. Batar, it's not like that's the first time, because we have brought things like this. We've talked about transformation of consciousness, expansion of consciousness, how that impacts on, you know, how life is manifesting on the planet right now. And there are a lot of people that are subjugating themselves downward in a spiral because of emotions of fear, right? And dread and, mm-hmm. you know, hatred and anger, all of that. And there are others that are stepping out beyond it. And the impact on those people is also palpable ultimately. And that's why you don't want to hang around, you know, too many people under the theoretical or actual 200 as you're talking about, but it doesn't mean you can't positively impact them, but you have to stay strong and focused and centered on that. I don't know if we call it a love consciousness, but something that can be measured at this point.
Well, exactly. It can be measured, but from the practical standpoint, people listen to this going, wait a second, how can I benefit from this? Well, that's the good news. Everybody will be able to participate and actually benefit from this. And you don't have to do anything. You don't even have to think anywhere. You will actually start to, by being in this specific environmental field, you will start to experience and feel the change in yourself.
Nice.
And I'm not going to talk about the technology right now. I'll just say it's coming down the pipeline.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's coming though. It's going to be in the next 3 to 6 months. But what's amazing is that the power of it to actually, this is taking something that is theoretical and now actually putting an actual application behind it and seeing measurable, reproducible results in a person's physiology.
Excellent.
And Robert, this is like changing health of the whole planet.
Well, we knew that
incredibly powerful.
The future of medicine would be energy medicine. It's been predicted for a long time, and we're living in that time of transformation. Of course, there are other negative energies that could try to bring us down. Can we counteract it? I believe we can. Here's new research showing that cell phone radiation is linked to DNA damage. We talk about the alteration of DNA, DNA manifestation, genetic issues, not because your genes were bad to begin with, but because of exposures. And so I know this type of technology can help neutralize it. Again, we use homeopathy energetically as well. But again, more validation that environment impacts on gene manifestation.
This was the work of Dr. Carlo, who I met a number of years ago. And if I don't mess up the history, but I'm pretty sure I've got it reasonably accurate. But he was basically paid by a certain number of cellular companies back in the 80s to do research to prove that the cellular cell phones, the energies that were coming out of the cell phones, the electromagnetic radiation, the ambient cell phone radiation was not disruptive or causing disease in people. And what he did he was paid quite a bit of money to do this research. And what he found was, in fact, not only was it causing, it was a very significant cause. And when he went to publish this data, the cell phone company sued him and said that they owned that data and he wasn't allowed to publish it because they had paid for the research and he wasn't allowed to publish it. And so he ended up writing a couple of books. And this is not new information, by the way. Anybody who's got a cell phone that they can put up to their head and they start talking and they start experiencing a headache within a few minutes or ringing in the ears or some other type of disruption in their neurological senses, those people are firsthand experiencing what we're talking about and what the study's talking about, the DNA adduct damage that's mm-hmm. being done. You're causing a disruption based upon ambient cell phone radiation. And in fact, if we talk about, I don't want to go into too much of this, Robert, you tell me when we're coming up on a break, because I'm not going to be able to hear the trailer, but
yeah.
One of the things is that when we talk about the bee population, when Einstein said, when you start looking at the bee population declining, then we know as a human race, we only have 4 years left, and the decline of the bee population began actually about 4 years ago. Nobody can figure out why the bees are declining in 4 out of the 5 major continents, and nobody could understand this. The people trying to figure out why is the bee population declining. It's been attributed to pestilence and to
pesticides,
various types of insect pesticides. Exactly,
but even EM fields are now they're acknowledging it.
That's exactly
EM
what it
field
is.
Field disruption,
the electromagnetic fields. So all animals, like birds, have magnetite in their beaks.
Stand by, Dr. Batara. We do have to go up on a break. Hold on to your magnetite and your beaks, folks. We got one more segment of Advanced Medicine coming up and another epigenetic story for couch potatoes, letting you know what's going on in your bowels based on your couch habits. After this, on the Robert Scott Bell Show, Advanced Medicine Version with Dr. Rasha Batara.
Live around the world,
the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Hey, we're never once to shy away from energetic discussions here on Advanced Medicine, and Dr. Batara has been really diving headlong into the energy field concept, and it does fit in with epigenetics, all that we've discussed this hour. And as we're moving through, I was just wanting to mention one other epigenetic scenario, which was a funny one, but not funny, but serious, about couch potatoes, right? How they're saying that binge-watching TV could increase the bowel cancer risk in men. I don't know if women don't binge-watch, but, I mean, come on. Who doesn't know this? By sitting on a couch eating GMO Dorito chips, that you're going to increase your risk of bowel cancer, right? Sedentary. I mean, this is part of the environment manifesting things in the body, is it not?
Absolutely. That's absolutely that. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. It's intuitive, right?
At this point, it should be. If it's not, you guys aren't paying attention.
That's exactly right.
So
Robert, I hate to do this. When you and I were just talking in the last segment, you stopped me because we're getting into a break. And for the life of me, I can't even remember where I was at that point.
Well, that's how we roll
with it.
That's how we roll.
Okay.
You know, we're going to be visiting this topic a bunch more, you know, and I want people, don't give them all away. You know, they always come back wanting more.
Well, I will tell you this, that the energetics of the system, and if we can create a conducive energetics in our environment, will have an exponentially beneficial effect on the physiology, meaning we're resonating a certain frequency, and if we can create the correct consciousness field around us, again, this is coming back to the same thing we started the show with today, is the environmental trigger that induces the genetic expression. So our genetic expression is resonating at a certain frequency. It has a certain consciousness to it. Mm-hmm. And if we can now create the environment with the right consciousness, you're basically doing the same exact thing. You're taking that trigger, the environmental consciousness, and using that as a trigger to induce the optimum genetic expression, which makes sense, which is the reason that I'm physiologically feeling better now. And I believe that we can do this with many, many, in fact, with all processes. It's very difficult to wrap your head around it, I think, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to go into more details. Of course, we know our friends listen to this show, many of our friends at the various three-letter governmental agencies. So yes. I don't want to go and create any problems for any of these technologies. But suffice it to say, it's coming down the pipeline, and it will be available to every man, woman, and child on the planet, and it will be very, very, very accessible to everyone. So I'm truly excited because for the first time, I can see something that will not be able to be
it won't be containable. They won't be able to contain
exactly.
this. Yeah,
that's right.
This is an energy that's
right.
outside of their grasp or ability to suppress. Now, you know, folks, this is very exciting because it's a time when, you know, maybe a lot of our friends and relatives out there are really on the fear side of things. And I mentioned that earlier, or maybe they're invested in taking other people down for whatever reason, they're feeding off of that negativity. And I don't want you to feed that. And that's what we're doing. I've always said it's like kind of like out creating the bad vibes, right? Out creating the bad guys. You don't give them the energy with which they use their kung fu to take it and beat you over the head with it. You withdraw that energy. You withdraw that consent. You start out creating them until they have no choice but to join in on a positive vibe or else they're left behind.
That's exactly right. And so it's basically using your opponent's strength against them, mm-hmm. themselves. But in this particular case, you don't even have to do that because their own strength that they express in order to try to prevent this from going out will just suffocate themselves. Mm-hmm. This is something that, as you said, nobody will be able to contain because it will transcend geographical and ethnic and religious boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something tangible that anybody can manipulate, and we're actually at the cusp of the next level of ascension as a society on the planet, I believe. And this is one of those technologies that's going to help alleviate certain conditions, which David Hawkins very clearly described in some of his works. And I'm just humbled to have been somehow involved with this. Now, of course, I didn't know David Hawkins, and he's been gone from the planet now for, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. But this technology is based upon some of his work. Not that he had anything to do with it,
mm-hmm.
but it was based upon his consciousness, the level of the map of consciousness that he created.
Beautiful.
And I can tell you that the results are going to be just amazing.
Well, that's what's so exciting about doing advanced medicine with you, Dr. Bitar, is like when we say advanced, we're not fooling. I mean, it's all the way advanced.
Yeah.
And this is where it was always heading. But when we can communicate it with you all, it's very exciting, as you can hear the excitement in Dr. Bitar's voice. So we're going to wrap it up for today. Thank you for being with us on Advanced Medicine. Archives, once again, going up at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, UK Health Radio, SoundCloud, and YouTube when we do it, as well as, of course, GCN. But for now, you can also go to medicalrewind.com and or advancedmedicine.com. It'll take you there. Tell them what they need to know, because we got to go.
The power to heal is unequivocally yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.